And why don't you read 22, verse 1 also?
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, in favor rather than silver or gold.
Yes. Now, some of you were in the class I taught on Wednesday that ended. It ended last Wednesday. I was team teaching for 13 weeks. We taught on themes found in Proverbs. So you're going to hear a repeat, Bennett's. They were there. You're going to hear some of it's a repeat, and I think there was one more that was in that class. We did have a good time there. What else do I got here? Yeah, I think I'm all right. I'm just getting organized here. But I switched it up a little bit. I just thought for time I would do that. Yeah, here we go. All right, here we go. I haven't spoken in this class in 19 months, so I'm a little nervous. A little scared. A little scared. The Wednesday night crowd, they're pretty friendly, but you guys are friendly too, I think. I do want to announce today that that we're going to be having another social. Okay? I haven't asked anybody yet. But we are going to have something really good, Lord willing, middle April. And I've got an idea, but I haven't told Pam. But I want to have it in my backyard in April. Can we do it in April? Not swimming, but I think it would be good. So we're going to be working on that shortly.
We'll see what she says first.
I may have gotten this goofed up, and you have to forgive me. I'm a little mixed up here this morning. And I'm wearing my reading glasses, so if you want to comment, just speak up, because you guys are all a blur. Okay? So just so you know that. But, no, I want to start with industrious. That's what I want to start with. And I think I goofed that up, and I apologize. What time is it? America has been a most industrious nation like none, no else. Okay? Just unbelievable achievement. A lot of it, as I read history, a lot, is founded in Christian Judeo values that was a big part of so many people in our country. Okay? And it gave us a spur of creativity and industriousness just unknown to mankind. Just overwhelming, some of the things that took place, especially in the late 1800s, just during the World War II, and just, it's just wonderful. There's just nothing like it. These core values spurred us to incredible things, okay? We, as Christians, my father made cars out of wood at Fisher Body, 5,000 tolerance.
Wow.
Yeah, 5,000. You can relate to that. 5,000. And he would always say, I'm doing it to the glory of God. And his attitude was, whatever we do it all to the glory of God. If I'm cutting the grass, whatever it is, we do it to our best. This is an incredible attitude to have. This is an attitude I speak to the young people, I don't know, 7-8 times a year. He hasn't asked me lately. I don't know why. I'm only kidding. I always like to tell them how they need to act when they're working at McDonald's. You want to be the best employee. Be there 10 minutes early. Go out 10 minutes late. Don't do that union clock idea. That union clock is fake. You work to the glory of God. That's the attitude. And all of us are called to live like this. I am working for the glory of the Lord first in everything I do, including cleaning the house. And I don't like cleaning the house. All right, now I goofed up a little bit. Is Brother Watke still here?
I'm here.
Chapter 12. Here, let's turn chapter 12, verse 9 and then 11. And now I'm getting my, and I want to hear your thoughts about what you see here.
Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense.
What do you think? What's your thoughts as you heard those verses read? Anything?
God rewards faithful diligence in your endeavors of working and putting food on the table.
Amen. Other thought? Go ahead, just speak up.
Okay, there's so many things that people pursue today. When you think about, for example, everybody thinks they can dance. They go around putting all this time into dancing. They're doing all this. That doesn't put, I mean, a few people might get food put on the table.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of dancing that goes on instead of working, which is a silly pursuit. For some people, I mean, they got so many hobbies and things. See, we're supposed to do everything for the glory of God.
Amen.
Our hobbies, if we have our job, if we have a job, that's not our job, that's God's job.
Amen.
And we are to behave ourselves and to be a witness there. We're to be diligent, honest, all those things. But if your fellow employees don't know that you're a Christian, you're not doing your job.
And they should know you're a Christian by your hard work ethic.
That's right. And
I would say, without saying one word about the Lord Jesus Christ, within 2 weeks after starting a job, they're going to know you're a Christian. Because your filthy mouth won't happen. It's not there. That alone will tell something special. Okay, I'm going to move on.
Or if it does, you're going to repent of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Seek forgiveness.
You can ruin your reputation in the workplace in one day.
Yeah.
One day.
1 minute.
1 minute. All right. The combination of low rank and food on the table is better than what I call pretended status, which basically ends up with a form of starvation and also debt, excessive debt. A man who engages in positive, constructive work, like farming, for instance, will have his needs supplied. My brother-in-law was in my house Friday. He owns a 1,200-acre farm in Imlay City. All that dark land out there just north of Imlay City is theirs. They're the hardest working people you ever want to meet. There's nothing like them. Nothing like them. But the man who spends his time in worthless pursuits not only has an empty cupboard, but he also has an empty head.
Yes.
So let's be careful, okay? Let's be careful. We are called upon to do a good job every day. Give them 8 hours. You get a 15-minute break and a half an hour for lunch. I'm retired. I don't know how you people that manage people, I don't know how you do it in this environment we're living in. This is the craziest thing. You got a fat man working in his bedroom, 15 feet from his refrigerator, and he's making $175,000 a year. I just don't get it. I can't even, and I don't want to get into that. Yeah, in his shorts. He might have even less on sometimes. All right, let's go to 14.
Batman should dance more.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's go to 14, verse 4. Would you please read that? And I want your thoughts.
Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox.
What's your thoughts? One comment.
I hear that all the time from my husband when he makes a mess in the house. Where there's no ox.
You actually quote that?
Out of an ox.
Oh, I love it.
Sorry if that's dirty.
Yeah, but at the end of the week, you got to clean it up.
He hasn't learned that.
A barn cannot be kept clean cleanly swept where there is no oxen. But isn't it better to have some dust and some dirt around because something's getting done, knowing that the labor of an ox will lead to bounty, will lead to reward, okay?
Well, we have pigs, so we have a lot of pig dirt in our house.
Boy, you do, yeah. You keep those in the house?
No. The only pig allowed in the house is him.
The reward of hard work and toil more than compensates for the disagreeable aspects of what's created. Okay? When I loaned money to companies, manufacturing companies, Dave, if I saw a business that was unduly clean, the floors were just too clean, it made me wonder, do I want to loan money to these guys? Are they really getting the work done? But I didn't like companies either that had trash everywhere. You know, there's a cleanup time. I want to say at this point, I want to say something. We, the bride of Christ, should be just exemplary in the marketplace.
Amen.
I mean, over the top. Hard work. Proper work ethics. Not complaining all the time. We should be the leaders in our work in the marketplace. I want to do everything I can to make the owners rich and wealthy as a result of my hard work is the attitude I want to have. And let the chips fall where they may, okay? My boss will reward me accordingly, but maybe not all the time. But that's not the real reason I'm working either.
Right.
The ultimate reason is the glory of God. And I want to make him rich because I'm doing such a good job every day. And I'm there every day. Okay? And God will exalt us. Can I hear it? To God be the glory.
Amen.
This is what we're called upon to do. And I'm calling on you people that are working now. You know, I shouldn't even be teaching this. I'm 10 years retired. I'm laying around all day. Not really. Not really. But I want to tell you something. This is the way we're called to live in the marketplace. And guess what will happen? Great joy will be in your heart. So go do it. Now let's go to 14, verse 23. 14:23.
In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty.
One more time, Jeff.
In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty.
All honorable work is profitable. I had for over 3 years an African-American man. I believe he knew Jesus Christ. He said he did, and I believe he did. He was my garbage man. He was one of the guys on the back of the truck. He never drove it. He was always on the back. This guy would arrive, sweat. I give these guys drink, you know, water and pop. I like to take care of these guys. And it leads to a conversation, right?
Yep.
It leads to a conversation and respect. But anyway, he'd come in, and he saw me as an older man, you know, and he'd get the garbage cans. My garbage cans go way to the back of the house. He took my garbage cans, put them in the back of the house every week. I never asked him to. I'll tell you what, I gave him a nice tip every quarter. He had a tremendous work ethic. He just believed in it. To God be the glory attitude. I loved it. I used to tell him, if I owned a company, I'd hire you the first day, and I don't even need to interview you. Wouldn't even need to interview. I can train you to do a job, but I can't train you to have a good attitude.
There you go, right there.
That's right.
And I don't know about you. I managed a lot of people in my life. I don't know, maybe a couple hundred. Russ, he ran the fire department for the city of Detroit. He'd tell you all about it. But if I saw somebody with a bad attitude, I would do everything in my power to get rid of them in 90 days. Sorry. I can't do much with that kind of attitude. I got to have people with good attitudes who want to work. And have a good attitude, not complain all the time. It'll destroy a company.
Yep.
Nothing but talk leads to poverty. We all know people. Oh, man, they got talk by the hour, man. They can tell you stories about this and stories about that, but nothing's getting done. No, we're called upon to do our best every day, every time. Now, I know we're going to goof up sometimes. That's fine. And once in a while, you got to go to the boss and say, you know what, I really did goof up, you know? And when you do that with sincerity, I found in my workplace, when I've done that with sincerity and with brokenness, I've always been forgiven. Yeah. You know, I've always been forgiven for it. People really appreciate it. But you'd even come and tell them about it. Okay, you ready? I wish we had more time on that, but I want to get to soul winning. And we may come back to this. I want to get to soul winning. So let's go there. You see that on the sheet? Oh, boy. You know, one nice thing about Wednesday, we start at 7 and we go to 8:10. Boy, is that ever nice. Now, everybody's asleep by 8. Isn't that right, guys? Everybody's kind of sleeping by 8. But, boy, that 8:10 is nice. It's really good. So, but that's all right. We're fine. Now let me find it here. All right, I want to talk about soul winning. I put on the back table a chart. Let's see if I got it here. I put a chart. I got to get one. And I made a few copies. Pastor Bob gave me this idea. There's about 10 here. I should have made more. I figured there's maybe 10 of you that would want a copy of this. But anyway, this is how to tell somebody about Christ, the gospel, in 2 minutes using this outline. Okay? It's really cool. And I would advise you to give it a try. And on the back, can't see it real well, is a little chart. And this shows you the primary way that people get saved. I love Billy Graham. I think he's one of the greatest men that ever lived for Christ. No doubt about it. I don't know how you guys are. He's up there with Paul. Not quite as Paul. Nobody's Paul. But I'll put him down, not far down. I love him. I love what he did. But primarily, God uses, you see the guy in the middle? You see the, can you see this at all? It's one by one by one by one. This is how it's done, primarily. So just as a reminder, I made a copy of that on the back. All right, let's go to 11, verse 30. Chapter 11, verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures a soul will thrive.
Oh, one more time.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures a soul will thrive.
It's a wonderful scripture. Hey, Jeff.
Barry, can I say something?
Go ahead, sure.
I remember going to Manitoulin one year. We were going on the boat. And the whole time we were on the boat, Dave Sirokin was out witnessing to one.
Praise God.
It was just awesome.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
A week ago Friday, I met with several guys who worked for me 10 years ago. Unsaved guys. Not unethical, but immoral men. They live that life. But believe it or not, I love these guys. I love them. And they love me. So they wanted to get together. We hadn't been together for a long time. So we got together for lunch. And the owner of the company, the restaurant we're in, he sat in with this thing. I keep this to 2 minutes, Jeff. Can you watch your clock? 2 minutes. Because I can go with the story a long time. But it's got to be two. But anyway, they were into marijuana. Oh, Barry, you've got to try marijuana. Man, I do it morning, noon, and night. They were going on and on and on like this. Oh, you got to look at these little gummy bears. These are marijuana. We got one like this. We got one like, I mean, I've never been assaulted on drugs since I was 16 like this. You know, 76-year-old man going marijuana. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit, I believe, gave me wisdom. These guys know me well, and they love me. And I love them. But the owner didn't have a clue about me. I said, let me tell you, and I know my 2 minutes is going to be up. I want to tell you something. Guys, listen. I don't think I need marijuana. I said, I take Advil sometimes. I said, I don't think I need marijuana. I said, I want to tell you something. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My sins were washed away.
Amen. Amen.
I became indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Guys, do I need much more? I mean, I'm not asking you to do this, but I am slightly half crazy. But I said it. And they're like, oh, I'm a liar. I said, listen, this is truth.
Amen.
And everything I've read, and I've had some American Indians that we adopted into our family, not my family, but my sister's, anyway, who were in jail. I mean, I'm not picking on American, but anyway, they told me, and I've read this, that 95% of all cocaine taking started with marijuana. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I said, that statistic alone, but more importantly than all, guys, I was brief, because these guys can't listen to Scripture more than 2 minutes. I said, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, come on, give me a hand. Give me a hand. You go out and do that this week. I have not been assaulted like that on marijuana. I hate this stuff. I don't even know what it is.
It stinks.
A righteous life is like a fruit-bearing tree that brings nourishment and refreshment to others. And I want... Where is Evan? And where's Nineveh? Sorry, I'm only doing 10 seconds on you guys. These guys were at my house for 3 hours last Sunday with his kids. And didn't we have a beautiful time?
Oh, yeah, amazing.
95% of our time was talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wasn't that true?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. They got a company out there at 18 and Ryan. Drive out there and get your clothes cleaned with them. They got the Bibles out there. They got the tracks there. They're telling people about Jesus. Don't you love it? I think you guys have been saved less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you like that? Let's give them a hand. The wise man wins others.
Amen.
To a life of wisdom and righteousness. To me, this verse, this little verse tucked back here, most people probably never saw, I think is one of the greatest verses in the Bible concerning soul winning. I really do. It reminds us of the promise which Jesus made to Peter that you will be a catcher of men. You'll be a fisher of men. That's what we're to be involved in. And I like it.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that. Luke 5, verse 10. What an unspeakable privilege we have to be used of God.
Amen.
In doing a work in human lives, of touching humans' lives and seeing their lives changed.
I agree.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
It's wonderful. We're called to do it. And I just want to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage the young people to just say, hello, may the Lord bless you. May God bless you. That can lead to another conversation. And if I have time, I'm going to tell you an incredible story. And I will make time for that one. I will. Not about me. But wait till you hear this one I got. We're called to do this. This is a work that touches lives for eternity, forever. Tremendous. My good buddy Steve Broda, my best person in life, Dave, and he's not brand, has genuinely led 4 men to Jesus Christ since January 1,
praise
including God. A Jewish man, including his boss. And he's doing the discipling program with him right now. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. I just love to hear him tell me about this stuff. Every soul won to the Lord will be a worshiper of the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Forever and forever. can't go any more on that. Boy, I didn't mean to cry today. Good grief. You know, first time in 19 months I've taught here, and here I am crying. I apologize. It's ridiculous. 24, verse 11 and 12, brother. Go for it.
Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his will?
Oh, man. Let's take a look at this for a few moments. When the innocent people of the world are being led off to gas chambers, into ovens, and other modes of execution, when our unborn children are being destroyed in abortion clinics, we have the worst abortion law now in this state than the whole world, more than North Korea. We're slaughtering our children up to the day that they're born. It is inexcusable to stand by and not seek to rescue them. It's absolutely inexcusable. It is also useless to plead ignorance. Well, I don't believe in abortion, but the law says it's okay. Have you heard the politicians say that? I want to take this a little further. Does this have a voice for those of us who are believers and who are entrusted with the good news of salvation? Wow, what a great privilege it is. Men and women are dying without Christ. They're lost. My whole street's just filled with lost people. It's unbelievable. And it reminds me, as I was preparing this lesson, of what Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. John 4:35. I want to tell you something. Jesus did not come back 5 years after his wonderful resurrection for specific reasons, not the least of which I want to share here. He left us here to warn and to lead many to himself. And all of us have a hand in this remarkable charge. We're all called to do this, the Great Commission. We are called to tell all this message without fear. So I ask myself today, I ask you too, dare we remain neutral? This is not just for those who have the gift of evangelism. This is a call for all Christians to tell others about Jesus Christ and to take the opportunity. Don't be afraid. What time is it? Huh? Oh, man, we're in trouble. All right.
You got to realize too.
Go ahead.
A lot of times we find it easy to witness people that are halfway nice. But the truth is, we got to sit there and take the ones that we look at them and we think, that person will never believe. But it's not our witness at work that does it.
Amen.
We need to witness to some of these people that are for abortion. We need to worship, speak to these people.
I agree.
We need to talk to the most despicable person that we run into. We need to be willing to share the gospel with them because we don't know what's going to happen.
I agree.
St. Augustine, he was living with a woman, and his mother paid the gal to leave him. He was a despicable person. And then one day he's walking in, on a beach, and I think an old man, I think it was you, Barry, walked up to him and gave him the gospel.
I knew Thomas Jefferson.
He became one of these four theologians of the Christian church. And his mom had to pay to get his girlfriend to leave him so he wouldn't live in sin.
Amen.
So we got to speak to even those most despicable people we've run into.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
If I get asked to speak again, I'll finish this up, but it ain't going to work. But I want to tell you something. I want to finish with two quick stories. Number one, Melody Perrin over there. Teacher of the Year. Did you know that for the state of Michigan once? And so on. He's on an 18-month mission. And Pam and I were there 2 weeks ago we held these signs up. You know? Pornography. 200 books in the Clinton Valley thing that are X-rated for six-year-olds. Here they are. 6 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old. Here they are. They've gone through it all. Okay? She's at it 18 months, and the board will not budge. They will not budge. You pray for them. They're involved in a war. It's a war. And she'll be there tomorrow night. And is she good? I'm going to be one of the speakers at the April 30th camp. I'm going to in Ohio. It's men in the marketplace. And we'll have about 100 men who are businessmen who are Christians. Okay, last year I went, and unexpectedly I went into a breakout session of about 12 guys. You know, we have little breakout sessions. It goes for 3 days. It's just fantastic. I love it. But anyway, there was a guy there, I don't know, 40 years old, just a nice-looking young man, owned a company, a construction company and so on. He gave a testimony. He says, hey, guys, I'll tell you something. 5 years ago, I was ready to commit suicide. My wife had disowned me. My children hated me. And I was living in an apartment. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I came out of the apartment with a garbage bag. I put it in the garbage can. And running by there with a headlight on his forehead was a young man. He said, good morning. May the Lord bless you. That was it. May the Lord bless you. He said, it led later to a conversation. And he said, he took this track and he showed me what it was like to be born again. I use these tracks. I like this one. Okay? He said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and got saved. I got saved. Then the man took 6 weeks and took me through a discipleship thing. Beautiful discipleship program here. And he said, I started to grow in Christ. Are you ready? That ain't nothing yet. Listen to this. This is 5 years ago. Just a man owns a construction company. He doesn't have a degree in theology, but he sure has a love for Jesus Christ. In 5 years, he has led 12 men to Jesus Christ. 12 men. Which has involved a growth in their church of over 50 people, counting the children, now coming to his church, because a man said good morning, God bless you, at 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's give the Lord a hand for that one. We're called to do this, folks.
That's right.
This is it.
That's right.
And it's a great thing to do. Final comments. I'm sorry. I know. We have 3 minutes left. Go ahead. 3 minutes left. Go ahead. Come on. What'd you get out of this, if anything?
For me, I'm never more satisfied.
Amen.
Than when the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to talk to this person."
Yeah.
When you do it.
Right. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
We're all here for a reason. We're still here because we have work to do.
Yep.
If not, God would call us home.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And we were all called to be witnesses.
Go ahead.
It's
final comment.
Says what we learned in vacation Bible study as little teenager, preteens. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what it all means to me.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want to be people who hide it under a lamp or a cloth or whatever. We want to be notable. We want people to leave and say, boy, that man sure seemed to love the Lord. We want to be known as people of that type. We want to be outspoken for your glory, Lord. No shame for you, Lord. You're worth it all. And all we got to do is say, good morning, may the Lord bless you. And then another conversation may happen and let you see how you use this. Lord, bless us. And in the area of industriousness, those of these folks, most of these people are working every day, to just have a tremendous attitude that I'm working for the glory of God. What a change takes over our work environment when that takes place. Thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.